easy bake, fast as you can. Mix them up, pour them in the pan. Slide them in, let them bake now. Slide them out, easy bake, wow! Only Kenner's Easy Bake Oven Set makes such delicious cakes, cookies, candy, brownies, pizza, pies, and biscuits. It bakes like magic with two ordinary light bulbs and has a special cooling chamber. Easy Bake by Kenner.
Hey guys, welcome back to Napalm Nanny in the Shack. I am your host, the one, the only Napalm Nanny. And girls in garage meet girls in the ring. So clutch your pearls, gentlemen, because these ladies are unafraid to flip through the air or tumble on the mat. And there's no place that has taken off like in Bolivia. The indigenous women of Bolivia, usually ethnically Quichuan, took to the ring. Also called cholitas, they are recognizable by their ankle-length puffy skirts and their small bowler hats, which their outfits don't change for the ring. So these ladies are busting all these moves in brightly colored and heavily layered skirts in contrast to the skin-tight outfits of American wrestlers. But these fierce women taking the stage is more than just entertainment. These women have faced social, economic, and gender discrimination. And the term cholita comes from the word cholo or chola from female, which means mixed race, referring in this case to people with one indigenous parent and one second generation Spanish parent. The ita attached to the end indicates something small. So essentially translating to small woman of second class. So it's through wrestling that these women challenge their marginalized place in society. So these feminine and fierce beauties are actively decolonizing a heavily colonized world one match at a time. Where cholitas were typically allowed to work as a maid, cook, or nanny, the introduction of wrestling opened doors for the community. And initially, the wrestling organizers at El Alto introduced female wrestlers as a marketing ploy. And despite it being a marketing ploy, these women jumped at the opportunity. And this opportunity led to the formation of an independent association where these ladies manage their own fights, which I don't think I need to mention how that is a huge accomplishment. And much like any other wrestling match, it's driven by a very dramatic storyline where the good guy and the bad guy are clearly established, with most of the time, the good guy wins. And although it's rehearsed, there are very real dangers and huge risks of injury, which they have to pay out of their own pocket. But this is only the beginning for these wrestlers, so who knows where it will go. But with all that being said, here's this week's playlist. Enjoy!
Thank you.
And what kind of a person would I be if I brought up wrestling without mentioning El Santo? Born Rodolfo Guzmán Huerta on September 23, 1917, in Hidalgo, Mexico, Rodolfo would become keenly interested in sports as a child, and eventually in wrestling. And wrestling took off in the 1930s in Mexico after several promoters had witnessed events in Texas. This led to Mexico's version of wrestling called Lucha Libre, which literally translates to free fight. Rodolfo's first wrestling appearance was alleged to have taken place at Arena Peralvillo, Cozumel, on June 28, 1934. Then becoming an active player in various matches under different names like El Hombre Rojo, Rudy Guzmán, and El Demonio Negro. He would initially compete as a rudo, which means as the bad or heel wrestler, then becoming a técnico, which means a good wrestler, and remained as such for the next 50 years. It was in 1942 that his manager, Don Jesús Lomeli, began assembling a team of masked wrestlers. This is where he gave Rodolfo the option of three stage names: El Diablo, El Santo, or El Ángel. And after choosing El Santo, he first wrestled under that name at Arena Peralvillo Cozumel on June 26, 1942. Then in the 50s, the Mexican artist José Guadalupe Cruz seized upon El Santo's popularity and began a Santo comic book that would run for 35 years. And the comics would portray El Santo fighting both real and supernatural villains. And although initially opposed to appearing in motion pictures, his first film appearance was in the incredibly low-budget Santo vs. the Zombies in 1961, followed by Santo vs. the Evil Brain in 1961, Santo vs. Infernal Men in 1961, which were filmed in Cuba right before Fidel Castro took power. And his film career would take off, and he would star in dozens more. But in 1976, there was a change in power in government, where the new administration canceled any film funding and frowned upon masked wrestling. This cut short the genre and pastime of masked wrestling, but it'll forever be remembered as an absolute cultural icon. And I want to dig further into this, but I don't want to keep you from the rest of the playlist. Enjoy!
Yes.
Well, folks, another episode gone. And thank you so much for tuning in to this little pirate podcast. Every share, like, and comment means a world to me. It truly helps with the growth and actually makes me feel like I'm not just screaming into the void, or at least not more so. So find me on Instagram and Twitter under Napalm Nanny in the Shack, and also find my latest edition, the blog, that covers each week's episode on WordPress, also under the same name. And with all that being said, till next week, I am your tall and lanky host, the one, the only Napalm Nanny. Stay safe out there, guys.